Welcome to Asia Calling, your window on Asia. Coming up on the show this week, triple talaq, or instant divorce, is under trial in India as women try to abolish a system that they have no say in. Indonesia's LGBT community targeted in raids and punished by caning, and now a new task force to track them down. And despite threats, Pakistan's Pashtun minority are defiantly holding dances all over the country. Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm Nicole Kirby. Last week was a particularly devastating one for Indonesia's lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community. When police raided a Jakarta sauna, 141 men were detained in humiliating conditions and naked photos of them circulated online. While in the country's northern province of Aceh, two men were publicly caned, the first time homosexuality has been punished in such a way in Indonesia. This report is from KBR Jakarta. And a warning that this feature contains some explicit language that some listeners may find disturbing.
Algojo siap?
Siap.
Dimulai dari. Satu. Dua.
Two men stand on a stage dressed in white robes. Their heads are hung as a cane lashes their back over and over again, 83 times. One winces in pain. The other remains stoic. Outside Shuhada Mosque, Aceh, thousands of people have gathered to watch. They're shouting insults and cheering. The men are being punished for their sexuality. In March, vigilantes broke in the door to their rented room and found the men in bed together, filmed them naked, and then circulated the video online. One of the men, 20 years old, has since been forced to leave university and his medical studies. Aceh is the only Indonesian province to practice Sharia law and the only province where homosexuality is illegal.
This is the first case of sodomy. We have caned them because there's enough proof that they violated Sharia law.
That's Yuznia, head of Banda Aceh Municipal Police and the Task Force for Enforcement of Sharia Law. He says Aceh police consider caning an effective punishment for immoral behaviour.
We're imposing a social sanction and physical punishment. We intentionally create a punishment that others can witness. This is in order to make an impact so that the violations are not repeated. Corporal punishment is normal, and if it is public, it has a domino effect.
But human rights groups across the country strongly reject the action. Muhammad Nurkoron is a special rapporteur with the National Commission on Human Rights.
The caning is a violation of human rights and degrading to human dignity. Punishment must go through a clear, transparent process and must be consistent with human rights. Moreover, the caning punishment was done on suspicion only. The proof is not clear. It is discriminates towards same-sex couples.
The men were sentenced to 85 lashes, but 2 months in prison replaced two lashes, and the men finally received 83. Another eight people were caned on the same day, punishment for being alone with a member of the opposite sex. But Lini Zulia of LGBT advocacy group Arus Pelangi says this is a clear case of discrimination.
From those five couple, four couple only got 30 lashes, but the gay couple, they got 85 lashes. So that's the first discrimination that we see in this process. Another is legal aid. So actually our friends in Aceh, they don't get any fair trial. It was very fast because no legal aid, no lawyer that can help them.
Since early last year, homophobia has become more virulent and more brazen across Indonesia. Growing hostility towards Indonesia's largely discreet LGBT community is being felt in many ways. Transgender people report being denied medical care and housing, for instance. And just 2 days before the caning, a Jakarta sauna was raided by police. 141 men were detained. The men were taken to the police station, many naked and some barely dressed. Photos and videos of the naked men in police custody spread like wildfire, which Lini says is likely to have devastating personal impacts.
They may get fired from the workplace. They may might get isolated by the family. They might get bullied from the society after the inhuman action by the police.
Homosexuality is not illegal outside of Aceh. Most of the 141 men have been released, but 10 are still in custody, facing ambiguous charges of pornography.
It was a horrible experience for all of us. It was a desperate time for me, myself.
Andres told me he realized his friend was arrested in the raid when he saw his photos on social media. When he visited his friend, who's detained at the police station, Andres says they were both ridiculed, taunted, and harassed by police.
I got bullied. Me and my friend got bullied. Verbal abusive. The most painful thing was when the policeman asked me to oral sex his friend. Like, do you want to oral sex him? Pointing at his friend.
Another policeman.
Yes, another policeman. It was very hurtful.
The raid on Atlantis Gym and Sauna is the third raid on a so-called gay party this year. While vigilante groups spearheaded the two previous raids in Jakarta and Surabaya, Lini says they're all part of a sustained attack.
We saw that the pattern was very similar, and we assume that this situation, like a precondition on criminalization process in the constitutional court and in the parliament.
Indonesia's entire criminal code is currently under review, and conservatives are pushing to criminalise homosexuality and extramarital sex in the process. After the caning, police in Indonesia's most populous province, West Java, announced a special task force to target LGBT people. It will utilise intelligence services, and police have urged residents to report any suspected LGBT activity. After a tough week, Andres is still supporting his friend in police custody. And like other LGBT Indonesians, he's doing his best to hold it together.
I am angry, sad, desperate also. But somehow deep down in myself that I will not allow those feelings to go out, because I have to give my friends the positive vibes that I have.
For Asia Calling, this report is from KBR Jakarta. Triple talaq is currently under the scrutiny of India's Supreme Court. The Islamic practice allows instant divorce if a man says talaq, the Arabic word for divorce, three times. Some Muslim women are demanding the practice be banned, arguing it is un-Islamic and unconstitutional. But as Bismillah Gilani reports, Muslim groups are fiercely defending the practice. And in the politically charged atmosphere outside the court, a heated debate is raging.
ऐसे करते-करते नवंबर से लेकर जनवरी तक उन्होंने 27 जनवरी 2016 को मुझे स्पीड पोस्ट के थ्रू ट्रिपल तलाक
28 ईयर ओल्ड अफरीन रहमान इज वन ऑफ द 5 मुस्लिम वुमेन हु रिसेंटली टुक हर केस टू इंडियाज सुप्रीम कोर्ट डिमांडिंग अ बैन ऑन ट्रिपल तलाक और इंस्टेंट डिवोर्स. अफरीन सेज शी हैड बीन मैरिड जस्ट 2 मंथ्स व्हेन हर इन-लॉज स्टार्टेड हरासिंग हर अबाउट हर डाउरी.
मेरे जो हस्बैंड हैं उन्होंने मुझे लाइक मेंटली हैरेस करना शुरू कर दिया.
माय हस्बैंड एंड अदर इन लॉ स्टार्टेड मेंटली हैरेसिंग मी सेइंग दैट ही हैज लॉ डिग्री एंड एनी अदर गर्ल वुड हैव ब्रॉट लार्ज कैश डाउरी एंड अ बिग कार बट यू ब्रॉट नथिंग.
अफरीन्स इन लॉ सेंट हर बैक टू हर पेरेंट्स होम एंड देन शी रिसीव्ड नोटिस ऑफ डिवोर्स through speed post.
It was in his own handwriting and was signed by two witnesses. Before pronouncing the divorce three times, he had leveled such baseless allegations against me, which I can't even repeat in front of anyone. But the point is, how can you divorce someone like this through speed post?
Afreen's husband had performed triple talaq. Uttering the word talaq three times, he had instantly divorced her, without her knowledge or agreement. At first shocked, Afreen soon realized she wasn't alone.
This is being done to many women. It is only when it happens to you that you realize what is happening. Someone is being sent a divorce through Telegram, someone through Skype, and some even through SMS.
She decided to fight back.
So I have challenged it, not just for myself, but for every woman, so that no woman suffers like I do. Triple talaq is unacceptable and it should stop.
Over 6 days last week, India's Supreme Court heard petitions from women and groups, including Afreen, who are seeking to abolish triple talaq. Now, as both sides wait for the court verdict with bated breath, a nationwide debate is firing up. Zakia Suman is founder of Bharatiya Muslim Mahila Andolan, or Indian Muslim Women's Movement, one of the petitioners. She says the practice is both un-Islamic and unconstitutional and must go.
It is banned in several Muslim countries world over precisely because Quran has no mention of triple talaq. In fact, as per the Quran, the marriage is a social contract with equal rights to the husband and wife, and equal rights to the husband and wife to seek divorce. But Allah wants the husband and wife to go through an elaborate reconciliation procedure lasting over a period of 3 months, failing which mediation even, before arriving at such a serious decision such as talaq.
Muslim scholars largely agree that performing triple talaq in one go is prohibited and even punishable, as it violates the divorce procedure laid down in the Quran. Talaq should be uttered on three separate occasions, they say, allowing time to resolve differences. Muhammad Salim is a member of the Muslim Personal Law Board, a coalition of Muslim organizations defending triple talaq.
The problem is ignorance. Islam discourages divorce per se. Divorce is the most disliked among allowed things in Islam. But people do it. It is like alcohol. It's prohibited in Islam, but still some Muslims drink it. And this is not something that governments or courts can intervene in and decide. It has to be resolved at a community level.
Meanwhile, the government has thrown its weight behind the women who are seeking the ban. Ravi Shankar Prasad is law minister.
We have taken our stand on the basis of the constitution. The Indian constitution gives women the right to life, equality and dignity without discrimination. And triple talaq does not satisfy the standards of gender equality, gender dignity and gender justice.
Prime Minister Modi has frequently raised the issue of triple talaq at public rallies. Indian law currently respects Muslim personal law, a set of Islamic rules governing family life and other personal issues of Muslims, such as marriage, divorce, and inheritance. But with its slogan of one country, one law, Modi's Hindu nationalist BJP party opposes Muslim personal laws and favors a uniform civil code that would apply to all Indians. Muhammad Salim of the Muslim Personal Law Board sees that as an attack on religious freedom.
Clearly, this is a ploy. They want to pave the way for a uniform civil code and create divisions among communities. But personal laws are protected by the constitution. It is a matter of religious freedom and they can't take it away from us.
Muslims are not united on the issue, however. Some, like author and activist Sadia Dehlvi, want to ban not only triple talaq, but also personal laws.
The reform is never going to come from the Muslim community. It is time for the courts to step in and to do away with the personal laws and implement uniform civil code that guarantees the same right to Muslim women as to all women in the country, and there should be one law that protects all women across faiths.
From New Delhi, this is Bismillah Gilani for Asia Calling.
You're listening to Asia Calling KBR. Last week in Pakistan, religious extremists attacked a cultural event at the University of Peshawar, protesting against the expression of Pashtun music and poetry. It follows a similar attack in March. Striking back in a forceful show of nonviolent resistance, they're performing traditional dances all over the country. Asia Calling correspondent Mudassir Shah has this report from Lahore and Peshawar.
On a sunny March morning at Punjab University in Lahore, students celebrated Pashtun Cultural Day. Colorful dancers gathered in a circle on the lawns. They stepped backwards and then forwards, moving to beat of the dhol, a double-headed barrel drum. The lead dancer gives a command by quickly touching the ground with his hand, and the drummer picks up the pace, beating faster and faster. The students were dancing the Atan, a traditional Pashtun dance and a symbol of harmony and togetherness. Pashtun are the dominant cultural group in Afghanistan and a significant minority in Pakistan. Dr. Hanif Khan is a history professor in Peshawar University. He says that a Pashtun event without a tan is like food without salt.
Atan is a symbol of happiness for Pashtuns. It cannot be replaced. Atan is like the soul of the body.
Atan is danced on special occasions like weddings and the resolution of disputes and feuds. It was also once a war dance, performed to raise morale before soldiers entered into battle. And that seemed fitting on this occasion. As the dancers came under attack from Islamic student group, Islami Jamiat Talba or IJT, the group shouted insults, called the event immoral and un-Islamic. IJT is a powerful conservative organization that operates as the defective moral police at campuses across the country. Jibran bin Salman is the leader of IJT at Punjab University.
We, the custodians of religion in Pakistan, warn ethnic groups to avoid confronting us. Otherwise, we will treat them like our enemies.
In the past, IJT has stopped Valentine's Day and other cultural and music events. But this time, university students and staff across Pakistan united to forcefully reject the attack. On the day of the attack, students responded with street demonstrations and they quickly spread. Since then, Atan has been performed across the country. Alongside supportive street demonstrations, as people around Pakistan demonstrate their solidarity with Pashtun culture. Dr. Nasir Ahmed is a professor in engineering at the University of Peshawar and he loves dancing Atan. He rarely dances at big public gathering, but he says he made an exception for a recent solidarity demonstration.
Religious extremists and fundamentalists want to suppress our identity and destroy our culture by attacking cultural programs and activities. Such attacks are part of an ideological war that has been started in an attempt to destroy Pashtuns and their culture. That's why I have to come out to show resistance to forces like this.
In recent years, cultural event and Atan dances have become rare in Pakistan. Tariq Afghan is a bulky man with a small beard from a remote area. and he has organized Atan events in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. He is a lawyer by profession and also a die-hard activist.
We would like to give a loud and clear message to the world that Pashtuns are a peace-loving people who are against terrorism and extremism. Our opponents attack our peaceful dance with violence, even though we have shown by organizing the event that we believe in non-violence.
Afghan believes that there is beauty in diversity and strength in differences, and he wants to show that culture can help people to understand one another better. Meanwhile, the attack has raised the profile of the Atan. As Pashtun activists have declared, they intend to make the day of the attack International Atan Day.
We will celebrate 21st of March as International Atan Day from now onwards, so that our opponents know they cannot spread fear among us.
From Lahore in Peshawar, I'm Mudassar Shah reporting for Asia Calling.
Four years ago, the world's strongest typhoon, Haiyan, struck the Philippines and caused mass destruction. Hardest hit was Tacloban City, also known as the hometown of climate change activist Yeb Sanyaw. Yeb's emotional speech for the victims of Haiyan captured the world's attention during a climate change conference in Warsaw, Poland. Madonna Virola caught up with Yeb in Quezon City.
Hello. I'm here at the office of Greenpeace Southeast Asia in Quezon City, in the capital, Manila. It's a minimal office with organic cleaning products by the sink in the kitchen. I'm here to meet the new executive director, climate justice activist Nadarev Madla Sanyaw, but everyone calls him Yeb. He's just rushed across town after giving an environmental talk at his son's school.
Painted a vision for the environment.
That's true.
I've met a lot of climate change activists, but there's something slightly different about Yeb. He's not angry or bombastic. He's gentle and unassuming, and really listens when you ask him a question. Yeb has held senior positions in the environmental world, but his career highlights so far was when he had the ears of global leaders at a climate change conference in Poland in 2013. That was just 3 days after the strongest typhoon in the world, Typhoon Haiyan, which killed more than 7,000 people in Yeb's hometown, Tacloban. After Haiyan, Yeb became a petitioner in a landmark case against big carbon-emitting companies whose emissions, according to scientists, have contributed to extreme weather conditions. The Philippines Commission on Human Rights will start hearing the case this month. Here's Yeb again at that conference in Poland.
The climate crisis is madness. I speak for the countless people who will no longer be able to speak for themselves after perishing from the storm. I speak also for those who have been orphaned by the storm. We refuse to accept that running away from storms, evacuating our families, suffering the devastation and misery, counting our dead become a way of life. I will now commence a voluntary fasting for the climate until a meaningful outcome is in sight.
Thank you, Philippines, for your great speech.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
And here's Yeb, 3 years later, reflecting on that statement.
I made that emotional appeal to world leaders to take climate change seriously because of its profound impacts on many communities around the world. And I'm not just talking about typhoon victims, but also those who are in their daily lives and experiencing environmental injustice.
But Yeb's efforts have continued since then. To pay tribute to the victims of the super typhoon, Yeb and a group of 12 others, including his brother, artist A.G. Sanyaw, walked 1,000 kilometers all the way from Tacloban City to Manila. It took them 40 days.
we will always have in our hearts is the memory of the lessons we've learned about the Filipino spirit. I mean, we were passing through villages where we were total strangers. They gave us food, they gave us shelter, they gave us water.
And when the next big global meeting was coming up in Paris, he resigned from his job and organized a second long walk. This time, it was 60 days through the mountains of Italy all the way to the doors of the climate change summit in Paris. He called it the people's pilgrimage.
During the journey, every day we stopped and we talked with people. Sometimes we had gatherings with the communities. Sometimes my brother, AG, led painting murals on walls. Well, we always said that Paris is not really our destination, but our real destination is to reach the hearts and minds of people all over the world. So climate change is not being just an environmental issue, but an issue that deals with accountability of people who've caused harm to others.
Yeb says there are three short words that sum up what the globe needs to overcome when it comes to climate change: greed, apathy, and avarice. He often thinks big picture about humanity, global movements, and the role of millennials. But Yeb walks his talk. His whole house, for example, is powered by the sun.
Every time I wake up in the morning, especially when I am in the Philippines, I want to be able to look my children in the eye and tell them I've done my best.
He knows how important the next generation will be.
I remember when I was 11 years old, I planted a tree in front of our house. And then one day, I came home and the tree was gone. Somebody cut it down. And it was a very painful experience for me. I nurtured it and it grew up to about 15 feet for close to 1 year. And then from that day on, I resolved I will protect nature.
For Asia Calling, this is Madonna Virola reporting from Quezon City.
That's all for this edition of Asia Calling. Our program today was produced in the studios of Radio KBR in Jakarta, Indonesia. To find out more about our show, send us a message on our Asia Calling Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Asia Calling for more updates. You can now also podcast the show. Go to the iTunes store and search for Asia Calling and subscribe for free to the weekly episodes. I'm Nicole Kirby, back next week with more stories from Asia.